smile of love, and in a place to live, lift your hands to the one who loves you best. Turn and shake, oh, give a smile. May be seated. You know, it's been about 6 weeks since I've been in here, something like that. I know I've got a little uglier. That's all right. That comes with age, so don't worry about that. I'm glad I'm able to be here. I tell you, it's a joy and a privilege to be in God's house. And I appreciate every one of you. I didn't shake hands with anybody but Brother Bill. He just shook hands with me right there. But that's, you know why I don't, okay? So if I don't, I love you anyway. Amen. Every one of you is just a blessing to me. You know, in fact, this little lady right over here is a blessing to me most of the time, ain't she? But God has really been good to every one of us, hasn't he? As I said, it's been about 6 weeks since I've been here, something like that. And that means that I got a whole lot to say today, that I got to get caught up, okay? So 6 sermons ought to be about 2 o'clock. I'll try, okay? Now, I'm just kidding. I love to have fun. He's got a good humor, hasn't he? He made me, and that's good humor. Amen. Well, I appreciate the opportunity again to be with you. And I don't know. It's just be honest with you, I do have a whole lot to say this morning, and I probably won't be able to get half of it out right, or half of it may not be able to say. I don't know. But I'm depending on God this morning. I try to depend on him all the time, and sometimes it doesn't work out like I want it to, or I think it ought to be. But when I do it on my own, then I make a mess. And you're the same way, so, you know, I'm just not telling you anything that you don't know. I know that. But I got a lot of scriptures that I I love all the scripture, but some kind of gets me real, you know, with a smack every once in a while. And sometimes you just leave those alone for a while anyway until you get through praying, and you know, you have to pray to the Lord and ask him to help you in some things that God shows you through God's word. And you know, He's the one that we have to depend on. You know, the day and time that we're living in, and you know as well as I do, and you probably may not want to hear about this as much as you used to do, but you say, well, you know, I don't go to church to hear about my problems. Well, maybe God is going to help us with our problems. In fact, I know he will if we'll depend on him. We have to trust him for everything that we have, everything that we do, everything that comes along. We have to depend on him. Well, do we not? Come on, help me out. Yes. Amen. Sure we do. You know, I got some scripture here I want to read to you that I believe shows me that we're living in the last days. we're going through a lot of things now, but you know, it's nothing compared to what God let his only begotten Son go through with there on Calvary's cross for our sin. You know, he loved us enough to give his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ loved us enough to die for us on Calvary's cross. And not only did they both of them love us enough to send the Holy Spirit into this world to dwell among us and to teach us and to convict us when we do something wrong. We need all three, don't we, in one. Praise the Lord today for the three in one, the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, somebody asked me something here a while back, and you know, this is an old saying, I know, and you probably asked somebody about it. You probably even tried to tell somebody about it, and you probably gave this answer. But how can three people be one? Well, let me say to you that when me and my wife got married, we became one. That wasn't but two of us, was it? It was more than that, because we had three more that came with her and came with me. So, you know, we have a wonderful time, do we not? Because Jesus Christ loves us so much that he looks over and he says, "That's my son. That's my daughter." And friends, I'm here to tell you today, I'm excited about what's happening in this world today. I know I get confused sometimes. I get discouraged sometimes. I get despondent sometimes. And if don't ask my wife, okay, how I am sometimes. But I try my best to show forth to people whose side that I'm on. I'm on God's side. How about each one of us today? Are we on God's side this morning? Amen. Well, let's have church then. We were talking, Brother Bill, yesterday afternoon, I believe it was, and we were talking about having church. I said, well, you know what? I sure would like to have church today. And I'm looking forward to the rest of the service, because I've already enjoyed what I did here. Some things, you know, I don't hear as good as I should, and I can put a brand new battery in my hearing aids, and sometimes they still don't come out right. Now, some people's voices, you know, it don't carry to my ears like others do. But, you know, sometimes I hear things and sometimes I don't. So, just what I hear, I want to enjoy. I don't want to hear something that is always complaining about something. I complain enough myself, so I don't want to hear nobody else complain, okay? But I want to tell you, as we look at the scripture this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is what shows me that we're living in the last days. I can say a lot of things, and you know of some things that are happening to this day and time that we're living in, but just hold on, because God is still in control. He's still the one that we have to trust. He's still the one that we look forward to. So in the third chapter, it's talking about perilous times that's going to come. And this is a very familiar passage of scripture, I know, and you've probably heard it preached on a lot of times. And I may not even preach on it this morning. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what God has for us this morning. I know that he has the Word of God. I know that he is going to do what he wants us to do. We just have to be obedient to him. Now, here in the third chapter, verse 1, it tells us, "This know also, that in the last day, perilous times shall come." Well, you look around you today. Is there not perilous times everywhere that you look? You say, well, yes, it is. And I'm sure that most of us probably look at it a little bit different from others. But as Christians, we ought to look at it and say, praise the Lord today. This is perilous times. And look at it in the right way, that is telling us and showing us that this is in the last days. You can believe what you want to. I don't believe it's going to be much longer before the Lord calls us home. Even if he don't call us all home. I look at myself in the mirror and I say, well, you know, I've been here a long time. And look at this pitiful looking face full of wrinkles and stuff like that. It can't be much longer. You know, that's okay. Because looking forward to going home is not a bad thing. Because we don't have a whole lot to be offered here in this world, because we're trying to live for the Lord, and the world does not have anything for us. It doesn't have anything for us. But Jesus has everything for us. See, so here we see that it's in the day, last days are going to be perilous times. They're going to come. So just say thank God. It won't be very long. Are you looking for Jesus? Are you longing for him? Are you loving his appearing? That's what we ought to be doing, loving his appearing. You see, we need to be also concerned about some things. We need to be concerned about what's going on, because there's a lot of people out here in the world that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they need to. Now, what are we doing about it? Excuse me. What are we doing about it? You see, a lot of times I wear this, and I like to, when I see somebody that I don't feel like knows Jesus Christ, you know what I'll do? I don't say a word, but I just point to that right there. Jesus saves. And surely he does. Praise the Lord. If that Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin, then if you're not saved, he'll save if you ask him to. And I try to show them that. Most of the time I point to a lot of them. I get all kinds of things that people say about that. Most of them say, and they don't say nothing. But a lot of them say, well, I like it. But liking it doesn't mean that they're going to heaven, does it? Jesus saves, and that's as simple as that. If we'll come, the Bible says he is the light. He's the great I am. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the beautiful rose of Sharon. He's the bright and morning star. He's the lily of the valley. He's fairest of 10,000 to our soul. He is our Savior. Thank God for all of that. He's the best friend I ever had. He's the Emmanuel. His name is Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the coming King. And I could keep going on for a little while. But let me say to you today, we as Christians need to be a witness to a lost and dying world, because when this world is done away with, then where are they going to be? If we don't show them that we're living for the Lord and that they need to be saved. You see, it's perilous time. It really is. For those that don't know Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. But he goes on to tell us in verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Can you imagine, as you look around, there's a lot of people that are lovers of themselves, aren't they? Why, we ought to love ourselves to a certain degree, enough to, you know, fix up a little bit. You see, we're lovers of our own selves, and we're not lovers of the Lord most of the time. Covetous, boasters, we're proud, blasphemers, we're disobedient to parents or children of, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Can you imagine what's going to be going on here? Excuse me. I'm not sick now. Don't get me wrong. I just get something kind of... It's the old devil working on me, I'm sure. Okay? So remember that. No, sorry, I don't need any. I appreciate it anyway. I'll probably need it, but I don't. It's okay. Thank you anyway. Now I lost my thought. We look about us today, and we see that the Bible is telling the truth. This word here is the Word of God. It was penned down by men of old as they were anointed with God to, as he told them, and they wrote down the scriptures. The scriptures are, as I'll get to it in just a minute, the scriptures are, I lost my thought. Chain of thought. Y'all just pray for me. I'll tell you what, let's pray now. Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. Father, we love you today. And Lord, we're trying. Lord, as we stand here behind this pulpit today, I pray, Heavenly Father, as I'm your servant, I pray that, Lord, you speak through me. Help someone today as a Christian. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll help them be a better Christian through the Word of God and something said or done today that would, by you, that speak preaching through me, Lord, that'll help them today. And Lord, I pray today that you would just anoint me today by the Holy Ghost. Thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Get thee behind me, Satan. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I know you're getting your fun now. But one day, you're going to be changed for 1,000 years. And I'm going to say, you know, I told you so. But you know, this a lot of people that even that claim to be saved, the Bible tells us here that they're having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Well, he's telling us that we have the form of godliness a lot of time. We're denying the power thereof. And then he stops right there and says, from such, turn away. He tells us what we're doing. Then he tells us what we should do to help along the way for this certain purpose. But you know, a lot of people, a lot of churches have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Praise the Lord. If we don't feel good at all, we ought to feel good enough to say thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. Because you know what? If it wasn't for him, where would we be today? He's the one that we ought to trust today. He's the one, especially in the day and time that we're living in, we need to trust him. Excuse me. More and more. But the Bible goes on to say, we're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Isn't it sad? Ever learning, but never are able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is the truth. He's the one. The Bible says that he came into this world to seek and to save those that were lost. He has all power. Can he furnish a table in the wilderness? Sure he can. He can do anything. He can do all things. He can do what we need for him to do for us. If we'll just depend on him doing it and ask him to help us here along the way. I'm telling you, every time that I pray now, I try to ask the Lord to lead me in his footsteps. And I read this to you here a while back, I think. Don't ask the Lord to lead you in his footsteps if you're not willing to move your feet. And how true that is. I read that to you and I know that, but he's my everything. Confess him today. You might as well face it. You can't hide him. Why? He can't be hid. When the Holy Ghost gets hold of you, you're not going to be able to hide him. You know, I'd rather have Jesus than anything I know. I'm just giving you a few things that I feel in my soul today. You know, I wish that a lot of us would be more like Jesus. Amen. The Apostle Paul is one that I think that if anybody, he was one that tried. You know, when he first, before he got saved, there on the road to Damascus, he persecuted the churches, didn't he? He done everything he could against the church. If you read about his testimony there in several places. But then when that great light shone down from heaven and he asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart, into his life changed like every one of us does, as I'm supposed to anyway. And if it don't, you better check up in your life to see wherein you missed out. Because the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's not what it used to be. It's what it is now and what it's going to be. You see, Jesus forgot our past. Now, he's looking at our presence and the future. You see, Apostle Paul was told, he says, as he was told to preach the gospel, and then he told young Timothy, he said then in verse chapter 4, he said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And that's about the time it's already got now. They don't endure sound doctrine anymore. There's a lot of people that go to church and they'd rather hear, have their ears tickled with a little sermonette by a preacherette and smoking a cigarette, driving away in a Corvette. They'd rather have that than to hear an old-fashioned preacher of God to preach the Word of God as it is to the people as they are. That's the way that the world's getting them. And if it ain't time for the Lord to come back, I don't know when he's going to come. I believe he'll come any time now. In fact, I know he will. You know, Jesus Christ will come back when God says, "Son, it's time to call him home." And that's when things are going to really begin to work, won't it? You know, I made a statement one time, and I was going to do it. I like to do things that show people what I'm trying to say sometimes, okay? Well, I told somebody one time, says, and the church had the sound room was upstairs, right over the door there. I heard a guy that I knew could play the trumpet. And then, you know, I told him, I said, "Would you play something on the trumpet when I make an inclination to you to do so? I'm not going to tell you to, but I want to, you know, when I do a certain thing, I want you to do it." And I got to thinking about that. He said he would do it. But I told him, I said, "Now, when you..." He said, "First note on that trumpet." Said, "I'm going to do like that. Like I'm going to be gone. And I'm going to be preaching on the second coming of Christ. And the rapture takes place." Then I got to thinking about it. And I said, "Well, you know, I'll have to scare some of those people to death." Yeah. I said, I don't want to be doing that, you know. But I thought about it. I just never did get to do it. Might do it sometime, you never know. So if I'm down here anymore, preach, and I'm preaching on the second coming, y'all watch out. If I can find somebody to play the trumpet. Okay? All right. Let's go back to Paul, okay? There was Paul. You know, when after God saved him, what did he do? He did everything he could to help the church, didn't he? He did everything he could to win souls to Christ. And he even took young preachers in, like young Timothy here. And he was telling them in chapter 3 what was going to happen. And then in chapter 4, he said, "Preach the word." Why did he tell him that? Well, you find out right here. And I wonder how many of us, when we come down to the end of the way, that we can say about ourselves, or somebody can say this about us. He said, "For I am near ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I wonder how many of us would be said about, people say that about us. It says, henceforth there laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And that's the reason I said love his appearing a while ago. I had that in my mind. Okay? That's what the Apostle Paul was telling young Timothy. And that's the way we ought to be, is try to help somebody along the way. And I believe that if we'd have try to help somebody along the way in our Christian life, then we'd feel better about our Christian life. I know I would. And I believe most of y'all would, if not all of you. Well, I'm just thankful that today that God loves me and cares for me, aren't you? Amen. I'm telling you, I know that I've probably had to stop a few times to think about what I needed to say, or what I wanted to say, or what the Lord wanted me to say. I hesitated, I know, but just won't know one thing. I'm not young as I used to be. My brain don't work as fast as it used to be. When I was younger, let's put it that way. When I was a little younger, I had a little more fire about me. But I've got the Holy Ghost fire with me now, but it's not like it used to be as far as my body's concerned. I'll be honest with you. But, you know, I feel good this morning. I hope that, you know, that everything's going to be all right. In fact, I feel sure it is going to be. Because God is here with us, is he not? I love to see y'all when we sing that chorus. Because I hardly ever get you to sit, see you say it, do it anymore, other than that. When you do that, you know, we ought to be thankful to God. And I know you are. Don't get me wrong. I'm not throwing off on y'all. Y'all just have to be the one I'm talking to. Okay? Just consider that. But I'm here to tell you that we ought to be thankful for everything God's done for us. There's a lot of things that we don't understand. But you know what? The Bible tells us one day we're going to understand it all better by and by. I don't know about you, but I'm just itching to go, so to speak. This world don't hold anything for a Christian. I said that a while ago. I'm just sharing it with you again because, you know, we as Christians just don't have anything in this world other than each other and the Lord. Amen. You know, as I said before, I like to come down here because I believe that you that are here really would love to worship the Lord. I think you live a good Christian life. But it's not me. It's him. He's the one we're going to have to stand before one day. Amen. And it all depends on the Lord. And we should only depend on the Lord. He's the one. He's the only one There is coming a day when the heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there. This world's full of sorrow. No more burdens to bear. No more sickness, praise the Lord. No more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day. All right, just stand if you would. You're here today and if you need a closer walk with the Lord, come on, let's pray around the altar today. Let's pray for those that need our prayers. Pray for the people that we know that doesn't know Jesus Christ as a Savior, because it's not long that we're going to have before he does come back, and we're going to leave this world of sorrow. Would you come? Brother Bill, lead us in prayer, please.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've given us today. Lord, thank you for Brother Albert. Thank you for the message that you've delivered through him. Lord, we're thankful for what the message has given us, has taught us. But Father, I pray that we won't forget, Father, that the truth and the gospel, that Father, help us be aware of what's going on around us, dear Father. And yes, you are in control, dear Lord, but there's so many things that's going on around us, dear Father, that's just against the Bible, against the Word of God. I pray that you'll bless your people. We know that you will protect your people. You know where we are. We just pray for your blessings on us and for your hedge of protection around us, dear Father, as these things transpire, as we get closer to your return, dear Father. We do look forward. We do look forward to your return, dear Father, to bring your children home. And we know, dear Lord, that it's just showing us just, there's just much more to be looking forward to on the other side than it is here, dear Father. There is nothing, dear Father, that's for the Christian here in this world, dear Lord. There's nothing that would hold us back, nothing that would keep us, dear Father. We do hope and pray, dear Father, that our lost loved ones and our friends, dear Father, will come to know you before that day comes, dear Father. Help us to be vigilant. Help us to be about your work, dear Father, and be a witness for you, dear Father, and not want to see our loved ones left behind, dear Father, but want to see them, dear Father, come into the ark of safety. I pray that you'll help us, help each one, dear Father, to be stronger about what you give us, dear Father. You've put us here for a purpose. Help us to be about that purpose, dear Father. And Lord, we again look forward to your return, dear Father. We're thankful for all that you've done to us today, dear Father, and this hour that we've been together. Thank you for Brother Albert again. Bless him. Bless our pastor. Pray that you'll be with each one of your people that's here today. We thank you and praise you. We want to give you the praise, honor, and all the glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.